Test. Yeah. Test. September 4th, 2017. We're in the Jay's shed. That's Sean. I'm Ed's.
Yay.
Normally we'd have the record for you right now, but we're going to look that up in a minute.
What does it matter?
Exactly. It's been pretty dismal, so that's why I was saying fuck it. Not even going to bother.
When was the last Birds Baby Birds podcast?
Well, I should just mention... for mistakes and omissions, that in the last one I said it was August 17th, but it was actually August 7th.
Oh, wow. It's been that long.
So
eh?
It's been like a month. That's... Like usual, it was like a month between the last one.
I know, that month was crazy. August was just like, phew, like it was just gone.
It gave us hope.
The Jays. I thought I was just talking about my life, but yeah, the Jays, they gave us hope, and then they went to Chicago.
Hold on, I have a story about Chicago.
You have a story
In a little bit.
But I'm just pointing out the fact that I had hope until that Chicago series on the 18th.
Well, me too.
And I even had hope after they lost the first game.
Well, I'm just gonna say, like, right now, like, it's not really a story. It's just kind of a dig.
Oh, yeah?
More than anything. Well, because, like, it's not a serious dig. It's just a joke, because, like, we were MCs at a wedding.
Between
podcasts, we were MCs at a wedding.
We had a bachelor party, wedding.
It was busy.
It was a busy month. Yeah.
But while we were MCing, you made several mentions of the fact that the Jays were in Chicago and we were at the wedding instead of in Chicago. So
we would have been in Chicago.
Well, exactly. So
my sister lives in Chicago.
So just
the Jays playing at Wrigley, like, we would have been there.
So just to continue the dig, even though they're probably not listening at all, but, like, not only did they ruin our chances for going to Chicago, it's pretty much their fault that the Jays are in the position that they're in, because surely if we were there, they would have won those three games.
They would have won all three. Maybe they would have lost one in, like, ridiculous fashion. They would have taken that series.
Well, they would have gone on a run for sure. And at the end of the last podcast, I remember you saying, we'll see you when the Jays win 10 in a row. And that would have happened. But no, you guys had to get married.
I think...
All jokes aside, it was a great time.
It was a good wedding.
Really happy for you guys.
It was a good wedding. When you have an open bar with good booze... It's a good time.
Yeah, it was a good time.
No lower shelf at that wedding. They knew what to put their money into.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway.
I tried looking it up, but then we just started talking about that. So
we'll look it up at the break.
They were okay until Chicago, and then they sucked.
Yeah.
And they sucked some more.
I think they've, like...
And now we're 10 games under 500.
Realistically, it's somewhere around they've, like, lost, like, I don't know, 10 of their last 14,
mm-hmm.
or something to that effect. Anyway, it's been bad.
It was bad, but at the same point, we have something to actually watch for now. As it diminished, we got a lot of different guys on the team. And one guy, we said we were going to start off the top. So
is Mr. Anderson?
Mr. Anderson. It's Monday, Labor Day, as we said. September 4th.
It's Dave Duggan's birthday as well, by the way.
Happy
give
birthday, Dave.
Dave Duggan a shout out. He's probably not listening either, but anyway.
They're a hot dog, baby.
Yeah.
So, yesterday against the Orioles, Brad Anderson put together his second start as a Blue Jay, which is pretty good. He allowed 3 runs in 6 innings, but, you know, it was a classic. You're left-handed. If you can do that every time, you can be a fourth guy in a MLB rotation.
And according to him, he's left-handed with a pulse, so there's always going to be a job.
So that's what we're getting
into. So apparently I should have been a pitcher.
Yeah. That's why I'm going to tie my kid's right hand to his side.
Did your dad actually do that to you?
I don't know if my dad actually did that, but my dad growing up, he's like, you're going to be left-handed and a switch hitter. And I failed at both of those things. I'm a right-handed, left-handed hitter. But either way, Brett Anderson took to Twitter after and pissed off a lot of Cubs fans. And it started some shit between me and Cubs fans, which doesn't make sense because I love the Cubs. But they're being dicks, and their success is turning them into Yankees fans.
Sean is one who will never shy away from defending a Blue Jays player in an argument that has nothing to do with him.
Absolutely. A person questioned whether pitching for the Blue Jays was actually pitching in the MLB. So, as stupid as that sentiment is, because the Jays are playing other MLB teams... So, if anything, a pitcher is the most... I don't know. Regardless, Brad Anderson was cocky when he sent out that tweet saying, look, it's amazing what happens when people don't tinker with you and just let you pitch. Which is apparently a dig at the Cubs, his last organization, where he sucked.
But
so, I don't understand...
But also, yeah, I agree with your sentiment that... It is kind of cocky. I mean, he's had two starts.
Two starts
with us.
One was very good, and he lost because it was against Chris Sale, and the other one was okay, but he only threw 60 pitches over six innings, so that's pretty darn good. But regardless, for him to go out there, especially when he's not guaranteed anything next year, like this guy's 29.
He's a free agent.
But he's made money. He's made lots of money. He's made $50 million almost, you know, before taxes. But, so he's a guy, you know, like, is it the fact that he just doesn't give a darn that a team's going to pick him up? Because if I'm Ross Atkins and anybody, any GM, you're looking at this guy has two okay starts after sucking and he's taken to Twitter and...
Yeah, and trying...
Cocky fuck.
And trying to take on... And that's the thing, too. Like, it's one thing to tweet that in the first place and sort of, like, have that aura about you. But, like, to actually engage the people that are you know, chirping you, for lack of a better term.
If you didn't see the Twitter feed, it was essentially Cubs fans saying, you suck, we spent way too much money on your stupid ass, glad you're not here anymore. And Toronto fans being like, oh, you're all right. Maybe you'll pitch for us next year. But... The fact that he's a free agent, like, it's not like Toronto signed him to, like, a $50 million deal for 4 years, and he's just like, oh, okay, well, I'm locked in now. I can pitch till I'm 35, and it'll be fine. He's still 29 and has moved organizations a lot, and maybe this is why?
Yeah, it's possible. You could see another Brett Laurie type of person, maybe. Or, I mean, we've seen this before, and like you were saying about, like, how it might look optically to Atkins or Shapiro or whoever, you know, particularly our GMs we're talking about, but, like, we've seen sort of incidences like that before with players like Brett Laurie and J.Pierre and Cebia.
Had Bregman personally message someone that suggested he should be traded on Twitter earlier on this year. But Bregman is a young star who's, you know, 22, and you know, you can forgive that a bit. I mean, first of all, he's going to be better probably in make more war than Anderson ever will.
Yeah.
But at the same point, like, Brett Anderson's like a man. I'm not saying 22 is not a man. He's just so...
No, but he's been in the league since 2009.
Yeah. So you should have
that
ERA
experience
in Chicago, and then you come to Toronto and they just let you pitch, and you have two games really good. That can mean two things. It either means they were fucking with Brett Anderson, and he didn't like it, and that's why he was so bad, and he should just keep his mouth shut and say, well, I really didn't like my time in Chicago privately, but not put it on Twitter. Or he still sucks, and he's just had two good outings, because guess what? It's baseball.
Like, yeah.
You can give up two grand slams in your next start, and then maybe you're going to want someone to say, hey, you're tipping that pitch, man. And
yeah.
Like, guys that are not coachable are... you know, like, I remember from any time you played, whether no matter what league you're in, whether it's even softball on a Wednesday night, it's guys that don't accept coaching in any form, whether from their peers or from their actual managers and pitching coaches or batting coaches, that's, hey, you don't want those guys on your team necessarily.
No.
You can have guys that say, no, no, I'm just not, like, I know you want me to do it that way, but I'm not going to do it. But is there anything else you can, like, you want those type of guys or guys that take a chance and try something, but I don't know. I don't understand why he did it. And I kind of feel for Chicago fans that are mad at him, but I don't think they should be taking shots at the Blue Jays.
No.
And somewhere, and then I got mad.
Okay, I'm starting to understand where your frustration is coming from. Yes. From the tweet. It's, you're not so much defending Brett Anderson.
No. Oh, no.
As you are just...
Well, someone questioned whether the Blue Jays are even a major... If it counts. Does the Blue Jays even... Pitching for the Blue Jays even count? Yeah.
It does.
It does. And then, you know... And then, they're not going to last in the AL East. They're done. Their wheels have fallen off. It's over. And I'm like, I don't understand this. We've had a bad season. Things are not looking good in terms of how good other teams are, whether it be New York or Boston or even Tampa. I mean, Baltimore, you'd be saying Baltimore's wheels have fallen off, but they're doing better than us, so I still don't think they'll make the playoffs, but not with the pitching they have.
We did succeed in making sure that Buck Showalter didn't get his 1,500th win against us. Did.
It's the little things.
It's the little successes it's at now, this point.
When you're 10 games under in September, it's the little things. You just say, ah, fuck it. I'm going to watch this game, and I hope it's a good one.
So anyway, we've talked about Brett Anderson for about 12 minutes now.
Yeah. Well, it was more than that.
Well, I know, but like...
Maybe he has a good end of September. And then you want to bring him back next year. But do you want to bring him back next year?
I don't know.
If he sucks all of a sudden, and he's like, they were trying to coach me.
But that's the question. That's the other thing, is like, do you... Like you said, even if he is good, if he's a dick, do you really want to fuck with that chemistry?
Yes.
In the clubhouse, but
especially
anyway.
When you have so many young guys coming up,
which segues us sort of into. Are we talking about rotation now? Are we going to talk about next year's rotation?
Well, we can. I mean, we can.
You seem like you really want to talk about young players.
I do. Well, because we have so many on that, like. Did you see Rich Urania getting called up?
No, because when we saw him in New Hampshire, his footwork looked shitty.
Yeah, his defense didn't look the greatest, and he didn't have a great game, though. Like, you can see he's a competent hitter, not...
And of course, we're basing our opinion off Richard Urania off one game that we saw him play against Reading, but...
Yeah. But... Regardless, he had a .286 on base percentage in Double A, and like a .247 average. That's not a guy that you call up.
No.
But all of a sudden you call him up, and he has a double and a single and like three walks in one game, and you're like, whoa, okay, like, yeah, there's...
Well, yeah, what happened?
Yeah. And,
who are you?
And then once again... As we said with Brett Anderson, it's two games, so it could be completely meaningless.
Yeah.
But Richard Urania's here, and he looks like he's okay.
Yep.
Teoscar Hernandez is here.
And he looks pretty good.
He looks pretty good.
I was actually meaning to look his numbers up, but I forgot to. Do you have them right there?
I think I do.
You can probably look them up quicker than I can on this phone.
Yeah, I can. Oh, God damn. Teoscar Hernandez, so he was traded. We traded Lariano for him and Aoki. We've also released Aoki. Let's just address that.
Yeah.
Aoki's gone, and Hernandez is still here. Clearly, that was the point of the trade for the Jays. I think Aoki signed with the Mets now.
Yes, he did.
But clearly, that was the point of the trade, was for Hernandez, and they had to take Aoki because Houston didn't have a spot for him, and they were paying him $6 or $7 million.
Yeah.
But Hernandez is here. So far, why the fuck is this showing me my major league? Okay, yeah. So far he is batting .286 with a .375 on base percentage, In two games.
In two games.
Two games. That's what the name of this episode is.
Yeah.
In two games. So, that's a lot better than, he was only in Houston for one game earlier this year, and doesn't look like he did anything. I don't know. I guess it was a
maybe a defensive replacement.
Yeah, maybe, but, yeah, last year he played 112 games for Houston, and he only had a .230 batting average and a .304 on base percentage. So that's not good, but his slugging was decent, and his OPS was league average, and his OPS plus is 99. So that's pretty much, last year he was a absolute average player in about two-thirds of the season with Houston.
Mm-hmm.
But he's projected to do better.
Yeah, so do you see... Do you see him being an everyday outfielder next year?
I think, like, why not?
I don't see any reason why not either, unless, you know, barring an injury or just ridiculous struggles in spring training next year. But I don't, not that I wanted this to turn into a discussion about Bautista, and I don't think it will, but I just...
Well, it could.
I don't see Bautista coming back next year unless, you know, that option's... I don't see the Jays picking up the option for $18
million, no.
First of all.
No.
And so, you know, there's the mutuality gone right out the window right there. And unless Bautista is not getting offers from anybody else the same as last year and he comes here for like $4, $5, $6 million...
Well, that's the only way I'd ever see Bautista come back here, and I'm not saying it'll happen because it probably definitely won't, is if A, they trade Morales, or B, somehow Morales gets hurt next spring training long term and Bautista's still not signed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then he, as you say, he signs for like $5 million. And that would be... Like, he's a DH now, if anything, and maybe he's not really a good DH at this point.
Yeah.
This and the last season have shown us anything. And it, I don't know. It's hard to say, because there are plenty of guys that have come back at 38 and 39 and put up good seasons after a few injury-plagued seasons. But he's been healthy.
Yeah, he hasn't missed a lot of time this year. His arm is fine.
He's just misses pitches that he used to hit, like, 450.
Mm-hmm.
He's just missing them, so it's, you know, maybe he sticks around and hits 20 home runs and bats 200 for the next couple of years on the White Sox or Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't see how he's back. It's sad.
It is sad.
I'm sad.
Because we were so happy when he was, like, back again at the start of this year.
One bad season.
Yeah.
Like, come on, he was so good in 2015. It was a ridiculous vintage Bautista.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, this year it's just like, fuck, dude, you used to crush that pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're throwing you fastballs inside. They used to be free. I remember there used to be advertisements on painting. You'd have to be insane to throw Bautista an inside fastball. And I'm like, yeah, if he's throwing 86, if you throw 95, you can give him the cheese, and he's not doing it.
No.
I don't know. It's just kind of sad to see somebody that was just, those 5 years were so good. 6 years, I guess, but, ugh. It was like home run champ after home run champ, even though he wasn't, but he was always in that race for like 5 years. 1 year he was hurt, maybe 2 years he was hurt, but regardless, he was... I remember when he got hurt in New York with that sheath in your wrist.
Mm-hmm.
He hit his like 27th home run and then got hurt. And it was like he was, you know, one away from the league leader. It used to be fun. He used to be our, like,
yep,
Stanton.
Yep.
And now he's not. We've kind of strayed from, but Teoscar.
Yeah.
Will probably be in right field next year. You would.
It seems that way. I mean, I can't. Like I said, I can't imagine Bautista coming back. Pilar is going to be a staple in center field at least until.
I mean, he's good.
Pilar?
Yes. No, he's good, but he's league average good. bad.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know.
And you have
guys
like Alfred and Hernandez that can
play
center field.
That's true.
If those guys start hitting better than him, and you have the chance to...
That's true.
Get, you know, if you move Travis to left field like it's been talked about, and then all of a sudden you have Alfred and Hernandez hitting too, and Pilar's putting up a 240 season with a, you know, he's, I don't know, we love Pilar, and he's good defensively, he's made some ridiculous catches, but I think he's one of those average players that everybody loves.
Because he's flashy.
Yeah, but to me, he's not as inexpendable as
no, no, and that's not what I was saying by like saying that Pilar was a staple. It's just
he's signed for a few, like he's still under control for a few years, and yes,
until someone comes and takes his job, like you were talking about, which I agree is very possible that some of these young players could come and do that, because look, like we've got like the list right here. You've got you've got three guys right here in Alfred, Smith Jr. and Hernandez that are outfielders, as well as down in high A, we were talking about the Canadian kid,
Connor
Panas.
Yeah.
Or Panas. I don't know.
Started making fun of him. He's not even here yet.
Yeah. But yeah, like he, what were you saying? He's batting 280, 18 home runs.
280 with 18 home runs in
Dunedin.
In Dunedin. He's 24. He might not be, but all of a sudden we have, the Jays all of a sudden have bats coming up to the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And that hasn't happened before.
Well, it has, but not in a while.
It hasn't happened in a long time.
Yeah.
We talked about many times in the past about AA's tendency to just draft pitchers for the most part. Very rarely taking position players in the high rounds.
Which became good prospect capital to, you know, acquire veteran position players when you needed them, but it wasn't a recipe for a long-term success. And
well, everybody loves pitching prospects, right? You can get it. I'm sure, you know, it's easier to project whether a guy can pitch. Like, you know, a guy throws 97 and you can go and watch to see if he has control, but the one thing we should probably make, we understand that baseball prospects don't mean they're going to be who they are in the minor leagues. When pitchers are easier to scout and be like, well, he can throw 97. A hitter is just like, well, maybe he'll hit 300, maybe he'll hit 220. You can tell that a lot easier. Either way, regardless, that was AA's thing, but all of a sudden we have Guerrero and Hernandez and Urena and
Bichette
and even guys like Biggio and Rowdy Tellez. Rowdy Tellez started this year as like our hitting prospect.
And now he's just like not buried, but
he's just another prospect.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think like we're saying, is it more that he took a step back in AAA this year, or the fact that all of a sudden the Jays' prospect capital went through the roof?
Well, I think it's a combination of like three things. I think it's that he didn't have necessarily as great a year as people expected him to. Also, with the rise of Guerrero and Bichette and the acquisition of Hernandez, and all of a sudden Alfred and Smith Jr. start showing up on the scene. You know, like you said, the prospect capital has kind of risen a bit, so like he kind of becomes hidden there. And also just the year that Smoke has had has just made people totally forget that.
Oh,
not like totally forget that he's even exists, but just like, I remember at the start of the year, you know, it was probably week one, and Smoke like was probably doing a little better than he did last year, but you know, people just expected that, well, he's going to turn back into the Justin Smoke of old. And people were calling for Tellez to come up you know, before April was even over. And then Smoke goes on this all-star tear season, and he's continued it through after the all-star break.
Yeah, his average has gone down a bit, but he's still batting .280 with 36 home runs. So, good, sign me up.
Yeah.
And we debated it at the time, and we definitely didn't know whether it was real. We still don't necessarily know whether, I mean, it's... I would expect him to do... I expect Smoke to do similar things, just based on what he said in the media.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's acknowledged that he was trying to hit home runs, and all of a sudden, you know, we've seen a lot of guys have things just come together for them.
Mm-hmm. Batista, Donaldson, Encarnacion.
Donaldson a little less so, but yes, Donaldson definitely took a step forward.
Mm-hmm.
Even still,
well, not necessarily with
traded here.
He did, but I just mean, like, Donaldson didn't really come into his own until he was 27, 28 years old with Oakland, not necessarily with us, but
yes, but yeah, we know the story. Okay,
yeah,
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
So it's very real for me to believe that. Yeah, Smoke's gonna hit 35 home runs. As I say, he's stopped trying to hit home runs. And all of a sudden, he's hitting home runs. And how many times have we heard guys say that?
Yeah, because have you seen the size of Justin Smoke? He's plenty big enough to just hit it out of the ballpark if he just makes good contact.
Well, one of the reasons I remember when the Jays signed him, and we were all saying, like, what the fuck are you doing? Is they talked about how it was some ridiculous, like, 49% of the balls he got in the air to right field were home runs.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at that and you say, well, if you can just hit more fly, if you cut your strikeouts down and hit more fly balls, you're automatically going to hit more home runs and score more runs for us. So, and he's done that. Not only has he stopped trying to hit home runs, but now he's just seeing the ball better,
mm-hmm.
and he's not swinging at the dirt, trying to loft curveballs out of here and like. Taking them and said, I don't know, it's been fantastic. And Telez definitely has suffered because of it. I don't know. It's interesting to see where we're at and the fact that these kids have come up and contributed. And, like, there's still... We didn't even talk about Danny Jansen, who is...
I don't know much about Danny Jansen. Tell me about Danny Jansen, then we'll take a break, because it's... We're getting up to about 30 now, but...
We're getting up to about 30. Where the fuck is Danny here? Danny Jansen. So, Danny Jansen started the year in High A Dunedin, played 31 games. Then he went to Double A, played 52 games. And since the Blue Jays' catching situation has been a clusterfuck of Russell Martin, anybody else, now with Martin hurt, it's Montero and anybody else. And it's just not been good. So Danny Jansen, because they've had to pluck guys out of Double A and Triple A, Danny Jansen's gone from Single A all the way to Triple A, and he is hitting .324 along the way in three different, with a .400 on base percentage and an .888 slugging percentage, and his slugging percentage is the highest in Triple A, where he's hit three home runs and four doubles in 20 games. So, we might have another catcher there.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive. We all talk about maybe, who knows? You never know with Rusty, you never know with catchers. They always get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But Danny Jansen's a guy, like, I don't want to say we do not need to sign a veteran guy, but Danny Jansen, like, could he be our catcher next year? I'm not saying, like, in front of Martin, but more of, like, a platoon? Like, you play 90-something, I'll play 60-something, especially with Martin all of a sudden just playing third base every now and then.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Martin plays 80 games at catcher and 20 at third base, and Jansen plays 80 games at catcher, and we have a competent duo as opposed to one competent hitter and whoever the fuck.
Yeah, whoever else we're running out there. Hey, Luke, how you feeling today? Not too bad. I'm a little hungover. Good enough. Get the fuck out there.
Yeah. So this kid, Danny Jansen, has come up and hit and hit and hit, and now is at the doorstep. That's That's impressive. He's 22 years old.
Last time we talked the farm, like, we talked about Pentecost, and now...
Well, weird. It seems... Pentecost, that's the thing. Pentecost is another guy that's... He can hit. Whether he can catch and stay healthy is another thing. Yeah, that's
the question. It's the health.
Can hit. I mean, he'll be up in AA, possibly even AAA next year if he does what he does, too. And it's just... The fact that you look at this list... And, you know, we were excited about guys like Telez and Harold Ramirez last year. And now all of a sudden we're like, who? Mm-hmm. We got all these other guys. And that's, I don't know, that's pretty sweet.
It's pretty exciting.
And that means that, you know, there's no guarantees. But, shit, if we saw what happened in Boston when they got three outfielders and a shortstop. And now a third baseman come up and start contributing. So you don't need everybody to be good. You just need three or four guys to be good. And we're talking now like about like 10 guys instead of two or three a year ago.
Yeah.
So fuck. All right. Well.
So that's the farm talk.
We got into it through.
We got into a few things.
They called guys up. It's September. We suck. What else are we going to talk about?
I don't know. Well, when we come back from the stretch, we'll probably talk. We didn't. We sort of got to it, but we didn't talk to it. But we'll
talk about
the rotation.
Yeah.
And then how they're. We also talked about how they're done. But maybe we'll mention some more stuff about how they're done. We won some sweet tickets.
We did.
So that's dope. We'll talk about that. And the Tigers are just fucking having a fire sale.
Yeah, we'll talk about the August 31st trade deadline and how that went. Which was basically what Edzie just said.
Mm-hmm. And just in case you're wondering what all that noise was.
That was the air show.
That was the air show. The X is on. So we should have closed the window. But anyway, the noise is the X. Don't be alarmed. It's the air show. We might go outside right now and have a stretch and see some planes or some shit. We'll be back in a bit.
Stretch.
Alright, we're back from the stretch on the Birds Baby Birds podcast. You can check us out on Twitter at Bird Baby Birds. Also on Instagram at Bird Baby Birds. Do you want to do the Twitter follower
thing? Oh, fuck yeah, I have the Twitter follower of the
before,
show.
While Sean looks it up, I'm going to mention that I did look up the record.
Okay.
Since the last show. It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be, but it's not good. It's 11-5.
11-15.
Good God. That would be good if it was 11-5.
Yeah, we suck. We're
11-5. Oh,
so I want
600
I want to address the Twitter follower of the week as...
Of the month.
The month. I keep saying...
Of
I
the said show.
Right, the show.
Of the show.
So I was being entertained by the heckling of both Blue Jays and Orioles fans during the game the other night. It was pretty funny to hear. There was some South Park Canadian references. Someone was just like, why don't you go watch hockey? And, you know, you could tell it was happening and Buck and Pat were just ignoring it. But Sam N. got in on the conversation. I don't know what you were saying.
What's the handle?
At Sammy Nag. Sammy A. and then followed by N-A-G. He's a Canadiens fan in Ottawa. So, Sammy.
So I already don't like him very much.
What? What's wrong with a Canadiens fan living in Ottawa?
Both of those things.
I'm telling Jamie that he said that.
Well, Jamie's not a Canadiens fan.
But he lives in Ottawa.
Yeah, but Ottawa's cool, I guess.
Ottawa's not bad.
We were there, and it was nice.
It was a good little visit. It was, I don't know, it was the end of our road trip, but yeah, no.
Anyway, why are you calling me?
I was just
saying for the sake of comedy, Sean.
Yeah, and I just
got nothing against Ottawa.
Keep going with it.
Got nothing against
Ottawa. I hate them so much.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well.
The Senators live there.
Thai food when we were there.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that? The Senators suck.
Yeah. Anyway, Twitter follower.
Twitter follower, Sammy Nagg. Thank you, Sammy.
For following us.
Yeah.
Thanks for chiming in
on the conversation. It didn't even make any fucking sense, but...
Apparently he was really interested in...
The Orioles schedule. Yeah.
But... When did like, the Twitter follower of the month just turn into, like, an announcement of disdain for people that we encounter on Twitter?
That's what we do. We respect everybody at an equal level of hatred. That's what we do.
That's what Twitter really is.
Twitter is just like it's awful, just like a collection of things, and I'm one of them.
Yeah, it's just a collection of like underhanded comments, like everyone trying to be as like witty and asshole-ish as possible without being that big of an asshole in the pursuit of little taps for the little heart button.
Absolutely, man. That's what life has come to.
That's what life on social media is.
Yes.
So go ahead and like us.
And follow us. At Birds Baby Birds. So the starting rotation next year.
Tickets.
We won tickets.
Okay, so there's this thing on the concourse in the stadium. If you go, I don't know if it works for scanning your tickets. I imagine it would.
I think it's just for card people.
Well, either way, let's just tell the people it's your tickets. So take your tickets up there. You check in, you go, it's this little, like, thing. It looks like the thing that when you scan your ticket, when you go in the gate, kind of looks like that. You, like, put it in there, it lights up green, and we won tickets, man.
We won in the action tickets.
Yeah, we're going to get... We're going to get some action.
We're getting some fucking... September 13th, the last game of the year against the Orioles.
We're getting some action.
We're getting action. We're getting in the action. Dude, we're gonna fucking... I'm gonna... Like...
I wonder what that means, though. Like, are we right behind the plate?
It's funny, because the email just says, like, just bring your ID and your card and get the tickets.
They're just gonna take us out back and kick our ass. Like,
just stupid fucking... flex pack holder. Yeah. We're good. It's just a Roger employee with a crowbar.
Yeah.
Just breaking our arms, taking our money.
Yeah.
So we won, and we're excited.
So we won a beating.
September 13th, like, it's a Wednesday, so, like...
Yeah.
Like, I'm just trying to figure out, like, do we go at, like, 4:30? Like, we go at 4:30, right?
Oh, yeah, we go.
We go at, like, 4:30.
Yeah, yeah, I might just take the afternoon off.
Yeah, I think I might, too, or switch shifts, regardless. But we go to the ticket booth at, like, 4:30. And we just, like, go in at, like, 5 and become fucking 6-year-olds with, like, balls and pens. Being like, I love your autograph, Mr. Stroman.
We also get free stuff.
We get free stuff. This is great. This is free
food stuff.
I like how we're both, like, hating on Rogers and then being like, we won.
We won.
Whoever owns this team has wicked promotions. Yeah.
We get, like, free popcorn.
That's
and it. Hot dogs.
Yeah. We get...
And soft drinks.
Soft drinks.
The liquor's not...
Yeah.
Not free.
And I'm pretty sure we can't, like, stuff, like, liquor into our pants if we're gonna be, like, on TV behind home.
Sure we can. Gibbons does it.
Gibbons does it. So we won September 13th. Actually,
well, he's pretty good at concealing it if he does.
But. We're very happy. And we get to see that, so that's great. I don't know. Nothing else to say.
Okay, pitching rotation.
We're fucking tweeting about it all fucking week next week. Pitching rotation.
Yeah.
We have Stroman. We have Sanchez. Blisterless one fucking hose.
Yeah.
And you have Pat.
And you have Happy Days.
Beyond that, you got like two more spots that you need to fill.
Brett Anderson.
Maybe.
Nah.
Marco Estrada.
Estrada is potential. I mean, I don't really have any sources or evidence to say that that's, like, you know, possible, but it seems apparent that he enjoys being in Toronto, and you know.
Well, let me throw a few free agent names out there.
I looked those up too.
No. You don't look them up.
Okay.
I'm just gonna throw them out there, and you gasp at which one you could imagine.
And are you gonna like give me like a bunch at a time, and
I'm
then
gonna give
I
you,
pick?
No. Like, well, let's just talk about here. We got Jake Arrieta.
Uh-huh.
We have Alex Cobb. We have...
I would sign Alex Cobb just on the fact that he fucking smokes us when he pitches against us, so...
You, Darvish.
Uh-huh.
Tyler Chatwood.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Going down. Jeremy Hellickson. That's another decent name. Let's see, what else we have here?
It sounds like there is a number of...
Chris Tillman.
Yeah, there's a number of good pitchers that won't necessarily command a lot of money.
Oh, no, they'll come in. Well, yes, okay.
Well, Arrieta
will.
No.
Darvish is going to cost a lot, but yeah, there's guys like Cobb. Chatwood would cost something, though not as much as Arrieta or Cobb. Or Cobb. What am I talking about? Darvish. I don't know. But yeah, there is options in the free agent market this year. I don't think anybody really has a prospect that can fill that back spot. Maybe Joe Biagini. So do the Jays re-sign Estrada, throw Biagini back into the pen, and pick up a guy like Cobb? Or fuck, why don't we pick up a guy like Darvish? We bid on him. Like, obviously it's different ownership or different management.
Mm-hmm.
But we bid on him. He's 31. He'll probably get a 5-year deal worth $100 million. Maybe more. Like, why not? He's good. He's very good.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden you have your... I mean, if you had a top three of Stroman, Sanchez, and then fill in the blank, whether it's Darvish or Arrieta or Chatwood or even Cobb. Like, I don't know. It's there's some pitchers on the market that, as you say, most aren't superstars, but there's
no pitchers. But when you start to construct a pitching rotation that has names like that, like, I don't know, just you mentioning there that if you were like able to re-sign Estrada, like, what is Estrada's deal? Like,
Estrada's deal was like 2 years, $26 million, I believe.
Okay,
the last one.
Okay, so in in theory, he probably wouldn't command any more money.
No.
So, yeah, I wouldn't have a problem signing Estrada to the same deal or a similar deal. And then, like you said, that puts four. And then if you can sign a guy like Arrieta or Darvish for around $20 million or even just a little bit more, I mean, like, here we go again, like, after just, like, praising Rodgers, but, like, now saying, like, you can afford to spend a little more money.
Yeah. They can. But there's also, I mean, there's interesting guys on here, like Chris Tillman, for example, who has pitched in the AL East. Mm-hmm. He's had a shit season this year, but he's coming off a season where he posted a 3.77 ERA, and I know, again, wins don't matter to him, but he was 16-6 with 3.77 ERA.
I remember the last couple years, Tillman was really the only guy in the... rotation that when it came along to a series against the Orioles that I was like, oh, I hope we don't face Tillman.
Yeah, no, but that's what I mean. There's talent there that are guys that are going to be cheap, let's say, for guys like Tillman that are having a bad year. I mean, Tillman gives up too many home runs. I think he should probably not re-sign in the AL East, but Alex Cobb would be cool. Like, there's so many options, and so, the two outcomes is you either have Estrada re-sign and maybe they put Biagini at the back end next year, or, you know, Like, could they just sign two other random guys? Like,
mm-hmm. Well,
there is...
Anything's possible. We haven't really seen the new regime go into a season that has, you know, a deep free agent class. So, it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah, I don't know. We're both just, like, grasping here for just naming guys that are free agents next year, but... there's a lot. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. I mean, Trevor Cahill, another guy that has done decent. He's gotten lit up with Kansas City, though, looking at this. But I don't know. There's talent out there, so hopefully they sign more people. But yeah, we should probably finish up just talking 31st trade deadline, which happened a few days ago.
Yeah.
And the biggest outcome of that is
Justin Verlander is not in
the Astro.
I know.
And he's an Astro for two more years after this.
Is it two more years after this?
I believe it is. And Upton is an LA Angel. Upton's one guy that I looked at as soon as he traded, and they didn't trade him for much. They got one good pitching prospect back for him. But, I mean, he is good. And they gave him up because he cost too much money. And we need an outfielder for the next few years. Yeah. Obviously, we were talking earlier about the fact that we have a gluttony of minor league talent now. But a guy like Upton, that's, he would make the team younger. It wouldn't be significantly younger.
Mm-hmm.
But he is also paid like $27 million for the next few years. So, I don't know. It was interesting. And then Verlander went. Avila went. Martinez went earlier on in the year to Arizona before the first deadline.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to write his name down.
Yeah, it was interesting. Normally, those kinds of deals... Like, do you think it was smart of Detroit to trade Verlander and not just wait until the offseason? And then you can have all the hypes around the winter meetings and really drive up the price if he's the best pitcher. If you compare... If all of a sudden, you know, there's going to be a few teams looking for pitching, and once Darvish and Arrieta are off the board, then I think Detroit could have charged more for him.
I would agree that that's probably, I mean, that would...
They had to be happy with what they got.
Yeah, well, obviously, or they wouldn't have pulled the trigger, but I'm not, like, too familiar with Detroit's front office right now, but I know that, like, you know, in the last year, it's a new regime with Dave Dombrowski moving on to to Boston. So perhaps maybe it's just, you know, a little inexperience on that part. I mean, again, I don't really know too much about
I think
their front office, but
Mike Ilitch died.
Yeah,
the owner of the team. And, you know, he wanted to see them win. I think he gave them permission to spend all this money, and then he dies, and then they say, holy shit, we're paying, you know, these, like, four guys, like, $100 million over the next few years, and we're still not very good, so we might as well just, like, get rid... It was kind of like the Vernon Wells contract. Let's say that's comparable, because Wells wasn't terrible with us.
No.
He was just signed to a lot more money than he was...
Than he was worth.
So, I don't know. And then, yeah, it was interesting. It was a crazy waiver trade deadline. It was crazier than any other year. Like, we got Cliff Pennington in 2015.
And Barney.
And, yeah, it's not... Normally, those are the kind of guys... You normally don't have an Upton and Avila and Verlander trade in August. So, yeah, that was cool.
Yep.
Yeah. So, fuck. I guess,
It's, well, it's September now.
I'm done my beer.
You're done your beer?
Yeah, I'm kinda.
We're done August. We're on to September. There's, what, something like 25 games left?
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, we'll probably get back to you guys in another couple weeks for a season wrap-up, playoff preview kind of thing.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Wild card's being fun right now. I really hope the Yankees lose everything.
I know, me too.
And fucking suck, even though they're good. Fucking Severino.
Yeah, costing us fantasy last night.
Fuck him. Yeah. Alright.
Alright. Do you remember a sign off from last one?
No.
Apparently it was good, but.
Alright. Well, have a good week.
That wasn't it.
Three.
It was still. It was still you're Sean, and.
I'm Sean. He's Ed's. Follow us on Twitter @BirdsBabyBirds. Whatever. Check us out.
Bye.
Bye.